This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Andrew Gunling is such a psychopath.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
Just horse. You're right, it was Nom. I gotta give a closer look to Peter's region.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
That's right, Andrew Gunling in for Peter on this Friday ENN, which is brought to you by
DoorDash.
That's right. DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash. Get more from your neighborhood. We start out by saying hello to Don.
Required copy. Mention steps in order.
And then we say hello to Michael.
A Friday night dump.
That could do damage in March.
I think if we got to get a look at Peter's region. I mean, I think that's going to do damage.
It's got a chance, but this.
A Friday night dump.
That I heard you say it, and I laughed for about 5 minutes. I'm excited about where that could feature in Drop Madness.
Now, we'd have to do the analytics, but what was the latest entry to finish the highest?
So all time, I'm not sure, but I've been going back and getting ready for this year's Drop Madness, and I saw last year, I think there was an entry from March 5th.
Wow. Oh, so this
could be
the latest ever.
It could be. I don't remember previous years, but yeah, March 11th, that's getting right up against the edge of it. So
that's like Georgetown winning the Big East last year.
Right.
Yeah.
A late entry into the competition. Except Georgetown wasn't really going to do much in the tournament, but
when UConn won like 10 years ago.
Yeah, maybe a little more similar to that. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. We'll have it next week. It all begins next Thursday.
Next week, Michael, next week. I can't believe it, Don.
Let's see. We start ENN tonight with part two of MLB free agency, which is ongoing. Things are starting to happen. Jeff Passan reported earlier today that Carlos Rodon and the San Francisco Giants are in agreement on a two-year, $44 million contract. And Buster Olney told us earlier that he expected Kershaw to remain with the Dodgers. Now Ken Rosenthal says that is happening, a one-year deal. So the dominoes are starting to fall just a little bit.
I want more dominoes falling, Andrew. There's not nearly enough dominoes.
Well, it starts slow, right? And then the dam breaks, and you'll get a lot over the weekend, maybe. We'll see. I
need some dominoes on the chest.
I mean, what you were looking for was
a Friday night dump.
That's right.
I got a steaming hot dominoes on my chest.
I mean, he told us it was going to be a bacchanal.
Yeah. It's not even a makeout session. Forget about a bacchanal.
I thought it was like a key party, and I come dressed as a griffin, and I find out that I got there a day early.
That commercial where the guy's dressed up in an outfit for the fantasy draft.
Yeah, right.
A wrong night.
Right, he's dressed as a centaur.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with baseball back, Caesar Sportsbook put up their odds for MVPs and Cy Youngs.
Yeah, we got more.
Andrelton Simmons to the Cubs for $4 million in incentives, according to John Heyman. That's everyone thought the Yankees were going to get Andrelton Simmons, so that's one off the board that the Yankees might have been interested in.
Holy crap.
So not good for the Yankees is how you read that?
Unless I read it another way, that they are going to go after Story or Correa, or they're content with moving Gio over to short.
Wow.
The Cubs were thought to be one of the primary destinations for Correa, no? And so now, if I were a Yankee fan, I might think that this is a good thing.
See, this is why it's smart by the Cubs. Let's say Simmons has a good first couple of months. You get trade bait. You're going to get a young player for him now. And all you did was invest $4 million. It's a smart play by them. Because I don't think they're going to be competitive.
We'll see how that plays out. I was saying there that Caesars put their odds up for MVPs and Cy Youngs in baseball. Now, I have them in front of me. Do you want to guess any of these?
All right, so
start with AL MVP.
AL MVP. I would say that Judge is up there.
He is fifth at plus 2,000.
Fifth. 99, baby.
Can I get a guess?
Yeah, please.
Well, number one clearly is Trout.
No, he's two plus 450.
Oh,
there's someone ahead of him.
Altuve?
Nope.
Who'd you guess, Michael?
I thought Altuve.
Oh, so is it?
How about Ohtani?
That's it. At plus 400.
It's not a fun game when you just get to, we don't even take turns.
I'm sorry, Don.
Yeah, Otani,
no,
then
baseball.
Trout.
I'm going to pull Peter. The role of Peter will be played by Don LaGreca today.
Otani.
Let Don guess all the National League.
No,
I just think we go back and forth. This be human beings, for God's
sake. Come on, dog.
When have we ever been human beings in 20 years?
I don't know.
Vlad Jr. is he's third at +500. Wander Franco +1800. Then Judge, and then Jose Ramirez. That's
under no circumstances would I ever bet Otani. As a pitcher, he can get hurt at any moment, and then he's not going to win any MVP. He's not going to hit. So, I mean, he might win, but I wouldn't invest my money in that. No way.
How about NL MVP?
Don, why don't you go?
I'll tell you this: there's a tie for first. There's two guys who have the same odds at top, and then. Also, the second best odds. There's a tie for that as well. So there's
Benny Agbayani.
Four guys occupy the top two spots.
It's interesting, right, Michael? Because like, it's not going to be a Met, you wouldn't think. And like, who on the Braves? If Freeman's not even, you don't even know he's going to be in the league, right?
I think I've got the two that are tied, but I want you to guess first.
Just because I want to get a guess, but it's not. Where's Manny Machado?
Not listed.
I would say the two that are tied are Soto and Harper.
Soto is one of them, atop at +400. Harper is second, one of the two tied for second at +800.
Do they realize that Harper won the MVP last year?
He's second.
Well, that was last year. What have you done for me lately?
I won an MVP lately. Let's see. How about a little Mookie Betts for the family?
He's +1,000, third. Not a bad guess.
No, not at all.
You want me to tell you?
Yes, no, please.
Well, let me guess. Don okay. doesn't seem ahead. Like he wants to guess. It's got to be somebody on the Dodgers, right?
At Hospodar?
No.
All right, go.
So Soto and Fernando Tatis Jr. Are both tied at +400. And then you mentioned Harper and Acuna Jr. are tied for second.
I'll bet. I would bet Soto.
I would too.
Cy Young.
Tatis gets hurt too much.
Did you want to guess Cy Young?
Of course.
Okay. Let's start with the AL.
Can I go, Don?
Sure.
The beautiful Gerrit Cole.
He's first at plus
wow.
350.
Yeah.
How about that?
Who won last year? Why do I think it's a Blue Jay?
Was it Robbie Ray?
Yeah, Robbie Ray. Good. Beautiful, Andrew.
Thank you. You want me to tell you these?
Yeah.
I'll go through it quick. Cole, then Shane Bieber, Lucas Giolito, Robbie Ray, Chris Sale, Justin Verlander.
Okay.
And then in the National League?
DeGrom?
He is first, +300.
Scherzer?
He's second, +500.
Yeah!
There you go.
That's pretty good, Michael. That's a good 1-2 punch, no?
Yeah. Now tell me 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Well, we got the 1 and 2.
Then good. Corbin Burns, Walker Buehler, Brandon Woodruff, and Aaron Nola.
Okay.
Nola I thought was strange. Why
Ian
him
Anderson
and not?
Should throw in there, too.
Yeah. Why Nola and not Zach Wheeler? I didn't fully understand that. But
yeah, that's true.
Zach Wheeler doesn't get enough love.
Yeah.
So he's got to have odds somewhere. Bet it.
Yeah, it wasn't listed. Those were the only ones that I saw listed.
Pick them.
Yeah, I'll dig for that one. Let's see, guys. This 98.7 ESPN Hoops update is brought to you by Superbook Sports. I'm sorry. Place your bets at Superbook Sports, where they'll match you dollar for dollar up to $1,000. Visit superbook.com to get signed up and place that bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Props to Mike Woodson. His Indiana Hoosiers upset top seed Illinois in the Big Ten tournament. This is the first time that Indiana has won multiple games in the Big Ten tournament since 2003.
Wow.
Almost 20 years. That is surprising.
They really had an underachieving year, but they beat Michigan, and now they won this game. They're going to get in the NCAA because they were on the bubble.
This probably sealed it for them that they'll be in.
Yeah.
However, Rutgers, they were in action today in the Big Ten tournament as well, lost to Iowa by 10. It's going to be close.
Strength and conditioning coach of Rutgers got a tech.
How about that?
That's not
helpful. Never see that. Now, they were down 18. They made an 11-2 run to close with an 8 at one point, and then it just kind of fell apart. And they were the higher seed, too. They were a 4 seed to Iowa's 5.
Yeah, Iowa was nationally ranked, though.
But, you know, that gets – you know, I think it's a good year for Rutgers. We'll see.
So before the game, Joe Lunardi had them as one of his last four with a bye. So basically he had them somewhat comfortably in.
I think Steve Peichel before the game got a four-year extension, right?
He sure
That's
did.
Right. Yeah.
All the way now through the 29-30 season.
Wow. After this loss, though, I hear that Carlin was like bathing in a tub of tears.
Poor guy.
Bathing in a tub of your own tears. Wow.
And Carlin just texted me now. The strength and conditioning coach got teed twice and got tossed. I think you have to have a talk with that young man.
This is shades of Sal Alossi, Don.
Yeah.
Yes, very good pull.
Look at you.
Can't be tripping, people.
No, certainly not.
If you are, then you're tripping.
Michael, were you bathing in tears today? Fordham, their A-10 tourney comes to an end, losing to top seed Davidson.
Let me let you in on a little secret, Andrew. Mm-hmm. I end most of my days bathing in tears.
What an existence.
Yeah, something.
What do you have to cry about,
you
honestly?
You know what? I'm just innately depressed all the time. So,
well,
yeah.
There's pills for that. I mean,
you can balance that out. But then I might not be the same ebullient personality I am on the air.
We have the technology now. There's no joke.
No,
you don't have to live through this. You don't have to live through depression anymore.
I'm choosing to do it. I've done it for 61 years. I'll continue.
61. So that's quite the streak. Not one good year in the bunch. Married, children, Yankee announcer.
No, there are a lot of good things, but at the end of the day, it's a tub of tears.
Well, that's why I say it's because really depression isn't about good things and bad things. It could be an imbalance. Take some pills. I would wait till you get prescribed by a doctor, but that's what you should do, Michael.
No, I don't think this is solvable. I just think it's not up for you.
I love that. You don't think it's solvable. A guy that cries himself to sleep every night.
I said I bathe in tears, and then I get out, towel off, and then I go to bed.
That's a lot of tears to fill a tub.
Don't you know it.
Let's see, guys.
Rivulets of tears coming down each cheek.
The highly anticipated regular season matchup of the season is over. The Nets, they really had it pretty easy last night, a 29-point win, and that almost doesn't even say really how the game felt throughout. It was somewhere between 25 to 30, almost from the middle of the second quarter on. I'll go right to the element of this that Michael had mentioned in the last segment, James Harden. So after the loss, he was seen celebrating a friend's birthday party in Philly with Travis Scott and Lil Baby.
Lil Baby, not little. Lil. Yeah.
Wow.
So I would say for me.
Don, just saying well, crackly.
For me personally, this goes into the category of things that some people are really bothered by that I do not care about.
Well, I think it goes into the nozzle category, frankly. That's who he is, man. That's how he's always been.
Andrew.
No, it's not
a big deal. I really
feel that way, genuinely. I think that this is kind of common in the NBA. That guy, like, win, loss, they kind of go on with their lives after games. And, you know, I don't
understand.
Know. Teams lose Super Bowls and have enormous Super Bowl parties immediately after. We remember when Snoop Dogg bagged. He decided not to go to the Patriot one or
yeah,
the Falcons
one.
Right, but I mean, there was still a party that happened. He just didn't show up for it.
It was pre-planned. Here's my deal. You're absolutely right, Andrew. Regular season games, when fans are pulling their hair out because of a loss, the players are fine.
I understand.
But they do get really depressed when they lose big games, and especially championships. That was a big game where he didn't show.
Well,
and for the optics of it, you know what? Take it home. But he's a big nightlife guy. He just is.
Well, I mean, look, you don't know. Maybe this is me hoping. Just because he was there, you don't know that it means he didn't care about the loss.
Had a big smile on his face behind Lil Baby.
But he could have. He could still. I've been at parties before and not been in a great mood. I mean, that's. I don't know. People have bad days at work, and if they have commitments afterwards, they still go to them. They still go out to dinners and birthday parties and things like that, no matter how bad their day was.
So you're putting this under the heading of tears of a clown.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I really don't. I think athletes do this all the time.
Here's what you hope for. And this is something
I'm not going to bring me down. I'm looking forward to
Of course. I mean, anything involving Michael K, because you're a
Sixers
fan.
No, here we go.
You're a fanboy.
The Sixers are like, all right, let the Nets have their fun. We know we're good, and then we will see you in the playoffs when it really matters. I'm not going to get all pumped up because Simmons is coming back and the fans are all angry. It's March 10th. Go ahead. Have your fun. But at the end of the day, we're going to be the one seed. We're going to be the team to beat. That's what you kind of have to hope is the attitude.
But at the end of the day, it's a tub of tears.
and there could be some truth to that. Well, just because the media and the fans make it out to be a big game, you know, for some of these players, and, you know, listen, let the Nets have their fun.
Don,
I'm
this
good.
Was a big game for him.
It was.
I agree.
It really was. And he was truly awful.
Right. He was horrendous.
Almost historically awful. He scored 11 points, and he shot 17.6% from the floor in his first game versus former team. That's the third worst field goal percentage by any player in the shot clock era in their first game against a former team.
Now, if they meet in the playoffs and he's great and they win, nobody's going to remember March 10th.
Correct.
And that's what you got to hope for if you're a Sixer fan.
Right. And what you're worried about as a Sixer fan, that this is a portent of things to come because there is a history of him not performing in big games.
Yep. His track record in big games is not great.
And let's face it, if they get swept by the Nets in the first round, he'll still go out and party.
Now, the only difference between his track record in past big games and this one is he's always been the guy who's had to carry those teams. That's not the case here. Joel Embiid is clearly the best player on this team, so maybe his role, maybe they're not quite as reliant on him showing up.
True, but last night was not about Embiid. It was about Harden.
Yes. No, it was awful.
Now,
I would say
in the complete opposite of me watching great moments in the nude, you probably were bundled up by the end of this
game.
I
couldn't have found enough layers by the time that was over.
Scarf.
Everything.
Ski mask. The whole deal.
Well, I'll say, Don, you mentioned earlier about how that game felt different. And you're right. Like, as a fan watching that game and being really invested in it, the feeling afterwards was not all that different to how I would feel after, like, a Game 2 playoff loss.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same kind of feeling that you get.
And so what was the worst feeling for you? Syracuse losing to Duke or this game?
Probably.
Ooh, tough one, huh?
Probably the Sixers game, just because my expectations for Syracuse were so low. And
how about Boeheim saying this is the best season he ever coached?
I don't know. I don't know what they're not a really talented team, so maybe he thinks the fact that, you know, they had a couple good wins and were near 500 shows that he's a great coach. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not exactly showing a lot of respect for the talent you have in your current team.
More breaking news from Andrew Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Herbstreit officially joining Amazon as the Thursday Night Football analyst.
Yeah.
So he's done with ESPN?
I think he could do both. I think he's doing both.
Because that would be a pretty big deal if ESPN were to have just lost their number one college football analyst.
No, I think he's doing both.
Huh.
He'll continue, according to Marchand.
According to Marchand, he will continue with ESPN. That's a nice full week. Thursday football.
Yeah.
Jet off and, you know, do game day and then jet off again to do the game. Money is a great motivator.
Guys, Ben Simmons' return to Philly last night was not the only uncomfortable homecoming that went on. Don, Jack Eichel.
Yes.
He heard it from Sabres fans last night in his return to Buffalo from Vegas. He certainly noticed it, and he wasn't shy about addressing it afterwards. Here's Jack Eichel.
This is about the loudest I've heard this place ever. Really. It only took 7 years of me leaving for them to get into the game. But, you know, it was a nice tribute. There was plenty of people here that were supporting me, and there was plenty of people here that were booing me. So they must just be booing me because they wish I was still here. I don't know. You know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not the first guy to deal with it, so just move on, and it was a tough game. You know, give them credit, they played hard.
Now, Don, I watched the interview with him, right? And he has a big red scar on the front of his neck. Is that from the surgery for the neck?
I think so.
Because I remember, like, Chris Canty had a similar surgery, and they go through the front.
Mm. Hey, that's the way fans are going to be. I mean, you can go the back and forth. Should he have had the surgery? Who do you side with? But, you know, he was a great player. It didn't seem like it was going to work there, and the Sabres have taken even more of a nosedive, if you can even do that, because team's even worse than they were after when Eichel was here. But that was a nice shot he took.
Yeah. Are you surprised, Don, that there's that kind of animosity for him there?
I just think they're really upset. The Buffalo Sabres have been irrelevant for, God, since like 06, when they should have won the Stanley Cup. But they always sold out. The fan base always packed. And then now it's like complete disinterest. Even for that game with Eichel's return, they still had less than like 13,000 people in the building.
Wow.
And that's a place that, Michael, they'd sell out like losing 10 in a row. And I don't know whether it's the pandemic. I know the economy in Western New York is not good, but they're just so upset with their team. But yet still, you almost would think they cheer Eichel because how mad they are at the team.
Now, Don, did Eichel ask out?
It was just a matter of whether, you know, what surgery they were going to have, and it was just time to go because they disagreed, and that was it.
Well, then
and
what that's do you expect them to do? They should boom.
I understand that, but I think players sometimes think that you're supposed to understand the business aspect and all that, and it wasn't like he hated Buffalo. It was just a disagreement on how they were supposed to go about the surgery. And listen, I think Buffalo's better. You know, when you look what Buffalo got back, you know, I think they're going to do all right. And Vegas is going to do pretty good as well because I think Eichel's going to help them in the middle to try to go for a Stanley Cup. But at the end of the day, I think that Buffalo, you know, did a good job with the deal that they made.
I never understand fans like people like debate, well, why should the fans boo him? Well, if he wanted out, why would Islander fans boo John Tavares? He wanted out. He left them. I would never boo a player that's traded. And he doesn't want to be traded. You know, that's just part of it, you know. Or if he leaves as a free agent and the team doesn't want to bring him back. But if a guy says, I want to go, I mean, he's essentially saying he doesn't want to be there. Of course they should boo him. I don't blame the Buffalo fans. And Eichel should have realized that was going to happen.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Guys, the big story from within the last 2 hours or so, Deshaun Watson, a grand jury elected not to indict the Houston Texans quarterback. He could still face civil charges, could still face discipline from the NFL. This statement was released by the Harris County District Attorney's Office. They said, after a Harris County grand jury was presented all the evidence and had the opportunity to hear from all witnesses, grand jurors declined to indict Deshaun Watson. Grand jury proceedings are secret by law, so no information related to their inquiry may be disclosed. Watson, just a short while ago, actually spoke. He addressed the media. Here is some of his comments.
It's definitely a very emotional moment for me. I know we're far from being done of handling what we need to handle on the legal side, but today is definitely a big day, and I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for letting the truth be heard, and I thank everyone that was a part of this, of seeing and hearing both sides, and that's what my point and my team wanted to do is have a fair slate of us telling our side of the story and letting the conclusion come down to what happened today, and that's what the grand jury decided on.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, that this isn't that he's innocent, is that they didn't believe there was enough evidence to take it to trial.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there seems to be this air of, well, he's been proven innocent, nothing happened. That's not necessarily true. Just there wasn't enough evidence to take it to trial, so he's eligible to play. The NFL's still going to suspend him for being even involved in something like this. And there could be a civil case down the road. And what's also interesting, Michael, is I don't know how long that's going to take, because some people believe the NFL will not give discipline until they hear what happens with the civil case. So how's that going to work? Is he going to not be eligible to play until they get the findings from the civil suit and then suspend him? Or let him play, and then when the civil suit comes out, then suspend him? Like, how's that going to work?
Well, I know he's tried, but he's got to try his darndest to just settle these suits before they go into, you know, public, you know, the public's consciousness, where he has to testify. Adam Schefter tweeted an hour ago, this is why Deshaun Watson, from the beginning, welcomed a police investigation. He felt he knew that the truth would come out, and today a grand jury did not charge him on any of the criminal complaints.
I think that's a misleading tweet by Adam.
Yeah, something's up.
Because it's kind of worded like, well, he's innocent. Now, did the truth really come out, or was it just, all right, there wasn't enough evidence? I mean, that's what these NFL teams have to decide, because there's still a civil suit that's going to come out. He's still going to be suspended by the NFL. Now, he's eligible to play. So I'm not going to kill any general manager that wants to go out and get him. But for people to just say that he was completely exonerated today, I don't think that's true. Do you?
I don't think he's exonerated.
You know, he
I
didn't go to trial and was found innocent. Like we were saying about a police investigation, you know, there was an investigation to see if there's enough evidence to go to trial. Remember, in order to get a conviction, you've got to be able to prove 100% that he's guilty. And so they can look at it and say, oh, we think we can get to 85, but I don't think we can get a conviction. We're not going to bother. So there's semantics here at play. And I can understand a general manager saying, you know, I don't know if I feel comfortable enough signing this guy or trading for this guy. I think both sides are fair, don't you? If you want to go after him, I get it. But if you're a team that says there's still too much up in the air, there's a lot of baggage there, you're making him the face of your franchise and giving a lot to Houston for the right for that, that could scare off some general managers too.
You know what? Now that they're in, you know he's not going to go to jail. The worst he's going to have is he's going to pay a lot of money to these people in civil cases. I think that everybody will try to get him. I think there are a few teams that draw a line at morals. They're looking for the best player, and this guy is an outstanding player, and they're going to go after him. That's all there is.
Oh, there's no question.
They'll live with the 4 or 6 game suspension that he's going to suffer.
No, I get that. Believe me, there'll be way more teams that need a quarterback that will be in the battle to trade for him than some moral high ground. But, you know, John Mara has gone on record saying that they're not interested. Now, is that because they love Daniel Jones? They don't want to give up that much for him, or do they believe that they don't want to bring in somebody with this kind of baggage? I don't know.
It is amazing, though. If you really want to see the mindset of the NFL, something happened here because, you know, there are these civil suits, and he tried to settle, and a couple of the women would not settle. So there's something here. He did something.
Mm-hmm.
And teams will be falling all over themselves to get him. Colin Kaepernick knelt. Mm-hmm. Not a whiff. Not one team. So you can do whatever you want domestically, but do something that ticks off half the country. I don't know why this wouldn't tick off all of the country.
Well, but not certainly not to defend the owners, Michael, but it comes down to money. What does it say about our society that there'll be way less protests for teams trading for Deshaun Watson than there would be for a team signing Colin Kaepernick 5 years
ago? It shows our society is off its rocker.
So that's what it comes down to, is that whoever trades for him looks at the talent and just looks at, all right, are we going to lose sponsors? Are there going to be protests outside our building? There might be a few, but not nearly enough for us to say no. But with Kaepernick 5 years ago, was enough for them to say no.
Guys, finally, one last thing. If the Spurs win tonight, Greg Popovich becomes the NBA's all-time winningest coach, breaking a tie with Don Nelson. That's it for ENN tonight, brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker or the Hennessy Triple-Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
Now, I've known that Don Nelson's had the record, Michael, but isn't it strange that Don Nelson is the winningest coach all-time in the NBA?
Yeah, it's odd. Very odd.
I mean, good for him, but he's no Greg Popovich.
He was an innovator, though.
Yeah.
Another Marchand scoop. He tweets out, I'm told Al Michaels is now at the half-yard line with Amazon, according to sources. I think he will end up there. Well, Andrew, if he doesn't end up there, he doesn't have a job. There's no other spot open.
You know, the music stopped, and there's no chairs.
I take that back. Fox. The Fox chair is open.
Well, Michael, I don't. For the money that Al's going to command, I don't think Fox would be in play. I don't think they would pay him. Do you?
I'm sure Al Michaels doesn't need money. I don't want to get into people's pockets, but the opportunity to call 2 Super Bowls in 4 years, that might be appealing to him because right now he's at 11, which ties Summerall for the most ever. If he goes to Amazon, he's not calling another Super Bowl. So I don't know if that means anything to him or if Fox would even be involved.
Maybe there's a big thing, a sort like they wanted Al Michaels all along. Al doesn't want to work with Aikman. Maybe there's a whole big story behind this.
Hey, work on that, Andrew. Andrew work on that, yeah. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take some phone calls, talk to Chris Carlin. It's Kay LaGreca and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.